Court, I'll come to you first. You tried hard to get a laugh and didn't really succeed, but I wondered actually, thinking about it, whether actually what you were saying didn't really warrant it, because it's really no laughing matter, because what I understood from what you were saying is that we are coming, if we don't do something quite quick, to a supply crunch. We're going to have many, many millions more consumers who want to eat these berries, but we don't have enough supply. Not just in Europe, we heard from Christian about the work that's going on in China, in South Korea, and I've seen it in the visits that I've been doing. It sounds as though there's this kind of, how should I put it, there's this thing that's coming towards us pretty quickly, and we better do something about it pretty quickly as well, because if we don't, we're going to be in a position where Norwegians aren't going to be able to buy the fruit they want because there just won't be the fruit around to buy. Is that essentially what you're saying? That's your warning that I get from the presentation that you made.
I think it's two dangerous issues. One is meeting the demand, which we love to talk about. It's wonderful to have this situation where we have this exciting, at least we think the demand's growing. We all wouldn't be here and talking about this way if we didn't think it was. And so that creates maybe not a crisis, but urgency behind the need to supply that demand. The other issue is actually sort of the reverse. We could also be on a path, not as a European industry, but as a global industry, of actually destroying that very demand if we continue to deliver a product that disappoints the customer. And that's almost as big a risk. I would rather underserve a market with good quality fruit and have people have a positive experience with their product, because at least there's potential to continue growing that demand. So there's actually two divergent issues. One is meeting the demand with quality fruit, and the other is addressing the problem that we have a large volume of fruit today and more fruit coming that also may not meet the expectations and desires of consumers. Mm-hmm. And that is a real issue. If you ask, there was a recent consumer attitude survey in the United States, and one of the biggest complaints still is not about price, it's about what they pay versus what they get and that quality experience. Robert, you've probably read that report cover to cover, the new one, and that is a challenge. We need to deliver a consistent product, and we need it available a lot of the time, and it needs to be at a price that works for
us. And just remind us of those statistics, you mentioned them, of where the U.S. consumption was in the 1990s. That's where we are in Europe today. What were the figures again?
Yeah, U.S. consumption was just under 100 grams per person in 1996. Today, European consumption is about 70 grams, under 100 grams. Today, U.S.-Canadian consumption is 1.1 kilos per person.
So it's grown, what, that's a tenfold increase?
Oh, no, math? Now I have to do math?
Yeah.
It appears to be tenfold.
Yeah.
Yes.
More
I'd have to
less.
Get that calculator in my pocket first, though.
Okay.
People laughed. I got a laugh, huh?
You did. Finally. Finally. Thank you for that. So, Atle, you're in the situation where you're wanting to grow your sales quite significantly to 400 million Norwegian crowns in the next couple of years. And you're going out into the market and wanting fruit. There are customers in China, in South Korea, in Asia, in all those markets of the world that Christian and his colleagues are supplying. You must be a little bit worried when you hear what Court has to say and thinking, where is this fruit going to come from? What do you say to that?
Absolutely, I get scared because we have problems already today with the availability. And like you saw in my survey and the presentation, you talk about quality. What do the consumer wants? Number one is quality. But of course, the assortment and the quality, and of course the issue between quality and reasonable price. That's what the consumer wants and the customer wants. And of course, when I hear his numbers, I get scared, because there are certain parts of the time today that we have problems with availability, and we want to make huge campaigns, we want to give the consumer what they want, and of course it's a problem for us if we can't do that.
Now it seems to me, from what I understand, and you mentioned this in your presentation, and I've heard about it from our friends at Driscoll's, that one of the solutions that you see to this problem is having a partnership with a supplier, a close partnership with a supplier like Driscoll's, where you can essentially manage that demand that you have and manage the shelf space that you have in a way that allows you to satisfy the customer. The relationship that you have, can you tell us a little bit more about it? And I'll bring Sandra in and see how it works from their side.
The partnership actually made a huge impact on lifting the berry category in Coop Norway. So hopefully Driscoll's can keep up with me when I keep increasing. So they have to work hard now. Joke aside, it's really important for me, and of course it's easier. We don't have a lot of people working in our office in the berry category. I'm actually category manager for all fruit, and I have a couple of workers under me, and I still work with the berry category myself. So it's easy for me to talk to Driscoll's, giving them my estimations, giving them my plans for campaigns, working together with them so we can nail the weeks that we really got a lot of straws, a lot of blues, a lot of rasps, and really made a huge impact on the consumer, saying that we can go out with a huge campaign, 2-for-1, mix rasps and blues, and it's crucial for us. But of course, if we're going to still grow like we do now, we need the availability and we need the same quality all year around. And straws now is getting more and more important in the Norwegian season as well, and that's been a period of time that everybody's saying that, wow, you cannot import strawberries in the Norwegian season. Mm-hmm. So we didn't do that last year, and we had a competitor who did, and they crushed the market. We lost like 8% market shares only in 4 weeks because they had balls, and they brought in import berries, and shows that the consumer and the customer, they want berries, not only Norwegian, but if there are not no any Norwegian berries available, they still want berries. So we have to have it all the time.
Let me bring Sandra in at this case and just explain a little bit about how that relationship works, because it sounds to me it's on the one side, if you've only got how many, you said 3 or 4 people in your department, and how many categories do you have how many individual products, rather, SKUs, do you have in your department?
I have all fruits for all Norway, so it's stone fruits, apples, citrus, grapes.
So you have more than enough work to do just for the three of you.
I get the days go by, yeah.
Yeah. So this is where, now that's how you get a laugh, you see, Court. This is where you and your team here in Holland, Sandra, you provide then a support just in terms of that category management, literally, for Atle,
yeah.
Of supplying that information and so on and so forth that he needs, but also then the product that goes with it.
Yeah, I think it's a real partnership we have. What you see is they have a lot of valuable information. They have like the loyalty cards. And what you see, what you can get out of the loyalty cards, that's really interesting. And that is information we do not have, but that is very valuable, and you can really plan something with it. On the other side, we have a lot of information from consumer insights, shopper insights, and if we combine those two, we can really make a plan. That's also what Atle showed. We really make a year-round plan. We evaluate it every 3 months, and I think that's the only way to do it, and that's also the only thing that we can really help each other, because we know where they want to go to, we know what their growth is they want to achieve in the coming years, so we know what we have to plan for the coming years, and also the quality we need for that.
And Atle, just on this point, Driscoll's wants, well, I imagine one of their missions is to make sure that the Driscoll's name is there on their fruit, and Co-op, I would imagine, like most retailers, wants to make sure that the Co-op name is on its fruit. Tell me a little bit about how that discussion works between the both of you.
For me, it's actually, when I went into the partnership with Driscoll's, it's all about making Driscoll's the brand with a lot of, the brand with the quality, the best quality for the consumers. So when they come into a Coop shop, they should know that Driscoll is solely for Coop, and that's the best quality you can get on berries. So they want to choose our stores because we got their berries.
Mm-hmm. Now the journalist in me, forgive me, has to ask a question that doesn't relate to berries, but do you expect that to happen with other parts of the fruit category and the vegetable category, that you'll bring in more brands into your store?
We do that today. We have our own brands as well, but it's mostly on dry goods and on fresh meat and stuff like that. We have some Coop Taste the Difference with some suppliers on oranges from Sicily, where we have the red oranges close to the volcano, working closely with them, and made our own brand, which we call Coop Taste the Difference, giving the consumer and the customer, saying that this is something special and you can't get it anywhere else, only in the Coop store. It's also dangerous to put your own name on something, because if you do that, it's really easy to break the trust to a customer if you have a bad quality. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of time to build up the trust again. We had a speaker earlier today saying that you could lose a customer for 6 to 9 weeks yes. if you didn't have what they wanted, and they could change to a different category. I'm really scared to lose customers because they mean the most to us. And if I don't have what they want in the brand that they want and the quality that they want, they're not going to change category. They're going to change the shops, and it's really hard to get them back again.
So, Sandra, how do you manage that? You've got to produce consistent quality week in, week out. Otherwise, Apple is going to get, well, disappointed, I expect. Yeah, but you manage to do that.
A lot of our customers will if we don't have a good quality. So I think that's where we really focus. We are a brand. We have our name on the packaging. So the first thing we really have to make sure is that it is a high quality. So our number one priority within our company is that we have a good quality and that we deliver what customers want. Because if we disappoint them, they will not come back for the coming year.
Or longer sometimes.
Or longer.
Christian, let me come to you on the title of this session is More Effective Marketing. Now, you in Chile, you spend an awful lot of money, an awful lot of time and effort promoting to consumers. Do you need to do that with a product like blueberries, which seem almost to sell themselves? It sounds like it, that they've got a high visibility among people. People know that they're good for them. They like them. They'll try them and eat them. Are there new ways that you've got to think to promote blueberries, or are you going to consistently do the things that you've been doing? And do you believe that they're working as effectively as you'd like them to?
Yeah, I think that's a very good question. We move where the market moves. If you look at our campaigns, maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago, when we participated in the first Berry Congress, we were talking about promoting in the UK and Germany, with the blueberries from the South campaign, with Argentina and Uruguay, and more today. If you ask us which are our main markets, we're not heavily promoting in the UK. We're not heavily promoting in Germany because these are markets which now move, like you said, naturally. Now, there are other strategies, price, etc., which work well. What we're with the limited resources that we have as an industry, we're targeting new and emerging markets where we want to try and increase that penetration, use the promotions to facilitate getting that product into store, convincing the retail buyer to take it up, to take the risk, in essence reducing these barriers that I talked about during the presentation. That's why today, for example, we did the very first promotion in Turkey this year. Working with very closely with our import partners, going to Migros, Carrefour, and you would have said, well, why Turkey? Well, quite a few reasons, but today blueberries is not a very big category.
And Court, coming back to the point that you were making very forcibly, this issue about the supply side crunch that we're going to see, or the supply crunch that we're going to see in future, that we don't have enough fruit. Your advice, though, to Christian would be, hey, you need to promote in Europe because that's where the action is. That's where the growth in demand is going to come. Is that not the case?
This is where we get dangerously close to a baseball guy trying to announce for a soccer game. But I don't claim to be an expert in that. I think it's probably a better question for Atle, what the best way, or maybe Christian, what the best way is to grow that demand in mainland Europe. Maybe it is generic promotions. It may also be industry efforts focusing on the health message. That's what really actually made the big difference in the United States, was not just generic promotion on behalf of one industry. It was an effort by the marketing companies, but also industry committees, to increase awareness of the health benefits along with promotional activities. Mm-hmm. And working clearly in Norway, you guys have actually broken through some of the seasonality concepts as well, which seemed to be so strong in Europe, which was what I was jumping on it. Mm-hmm. I heard he broke the seasonality thing. We didn't hear about it. So I struggle to answer that question. I'm not convinced I'm qualified.
Okay, well one perhaps you may not struggle so much on is this question about, you talked a lot about the quality of the fruit itself, and we know that that's crucial to selling product. But a number of people here in the audience have said to me, why aren't you guys talking about packaging? Packaging's crucial to the way in which we merchandise our fruit more effectively. Atle, if I could come to you, how important is that role of effective packaging in being able to sell larger volumes of berries to your shoppers in Norway?
It's funny that you ask that, because we have actually had a small survey about that as well to our customers, and we were thinking together with Driscoll's, we had talked about increasing the punnets on the blueberries, making it 250, 500, just to increase the volumes, and our customers actually say that they rather buy two 125 grams and take out one and eat that one, leave the other one in the fridge and take that when they want that, instead of opening 250 grams of blueberries. Doesn't sound that much, but you said average was 70 grams per person, so sit down and eat 250 grams of blueberries it's pretty much. So I think it's better for us to have a smaller packaging and give the customer the opportunity to buy more punnets, and if they only buy one, well, they're going to increase their frequency to the store, so it's going to sell more. So
innovating in terms of packaging shape, packaging size, isn't so important as far as you're concerned?
I think the most important thing is to make it look good, to get the right punnet for the right kind of berry. I see a lot of huge packaging on raspberries and blueberries, and you see the berries are on top of each other. Raspberry is a rather delicate berry, and you can see some of the cells are breaking, and if they start breaking, it gets wet in the punnet, start molding easily. So I think it's one layer and nice packaging, make it look good. The expression is really important. I think it's good.
Sandra, you wanted to come in on this, on the packaging issue.
Yeah, I think that's something we have some work to do. If you really look into the packaging and you look what we're doing as an industry on that, I think there is a chance we miss, because we can put a lot of information on it. We can learn our consumers a lot about the berries, but we're not using that space yet, and we're not doing it as well. But I think there is a real challenge, and we really have to look into that, because there is a big opportunity there.
Okay. I have an American perspective on the packaging, having watched this, not being qualified to say that we've done it, since we haven't, but we've watched it. NatureRipe has actually done quite a bit of this, as has Driscoll's and some of these other companies. In the U.S., once we saw a big uptick in consumption, one of the best ways to increase share of stomach and increase that per capita consumption is, assuming reasonable retail pricing that moves big volume so your profits remain the same, is moving to larger pack sizes as the habits of the consumer change. Not where the habits are today. Today it's I eat one punnet and then I eat the other one later. But getting a bigger getting that bigger clamshell, what happens is, if that consumer goes to the supermarket twice a week, they open up that clamshell, the kids eat some fruit, they come back the next day and there's more fruit available. Best way to get people to eat more fruit is to have more fruit available. And the other is innovative delivery of the product in other categories. NatureRipe is putting blueberries in Starbucks, in the coffee shop, not just in the produce section.
Mm-hmm. And we'll see tomorrow the kind of work you're doing with Jumbo in Bredar, for those of you who are visiting, doing the store visit and the field visit tomorrow. I was very impressed with the work you've been doing with Jumbo in terms of positioning berries through the store.
Yeah, that's actually what we're doing when we first start with retailers. So our first question is, okay, what are you doing with the category? How is it growing? How much do you sell? And then we're really looking into the basics. And the basics is about, do you have a high quality product? Is your cooler in the right spot? Is your price communication right? We heard a lot today that berries are really an impulse product. If your cooler is not on the right position, you really lose a lot of money. And we did a lot of tests with different retailers, and what we saw, just by replacing the cooler and putting in right price communication on it, sales can double or triple. So it really is a really big impulse product.
Good. Anybody have any questions? Yes, we have Mr. Olins, the godfather, can I call him, of the Global Berry Congress, sitting at the back. If we could get just a microphone to him.
Chris, actually, my question is not just to the panel, but everybody in the room. For every winner, there is a loser. The berry industry is very much a winner, and the victims are the other categories. And we've never actually addressed the other fruit categories, but I suspect that, and I know, we've taken market share from them. And my question to the room is, are we doing enough as an industry to keep that clear water between us and the other fruit categories? And if we're not doing enough, what else should we be doing?
When you say, Lawrence, that clear water, what do you mean?
Well, certainly in the UK, and I think it was also stated earlier, the berry category is now the number one most popular category. So, you know, obviously there are some losers. We've overtaken, you know, bananas, grapes, maybe apples. Are we doing enough as an industry worldwide to make sure that we maintain our number one position? And if we haven't reached that, are we doing enough as an industry to get to that number one position in the markets that we're not in?
And presumably the flip side of that question is, naturally enough, there are going to be industries there that have been losing market share who say we need to regain market
share. Correct, absolutely. So my question to everyone is, are we doing enough?
Yeah. Well, sadly, we don't have time for everybody to answer that particular question at the moment, but it's one that we can all go home and think about, because I think that is a very appropriate question to ask, and a rhetorical question to ask, perhaps, and one which we could finish this conference on. I always say finish this conference and somebody puts their hand up, and we have another question here from Pepe Gandia. Can we have a microphone to Pepe, please, Jonathan?
Well, I think it was a very good question from Adrian. My answer to that, if I may answer to that, is that in other categories, and there is a category that I know very well, which is stone fruit, it's extremely difficult to have the category to grow. We are depending on weather, we are depending on circumstances, and however that the progress in research is being huge, the progress of consumption is going step by step. We have another category which is progressing extremely fast in research, which is melons. We can speak of different type of melons, but then the consumption of melons is growing, but nothing is comparable with what is happening on berries. If we take the category of blueberries, of berries itself, and we compare the three or four, the, let's say, strawberries, raspberries, blueberries, and blackberries, for sure, blueberries have an advantage against the other three. Especially against raspberries and strawberries, is that blueberries is extremely stable. You can have a blueberry, and I agree with Kort that new varieties are going to bring us so much. You can have them on the table of the kitchen. Not, I hate to put fruit in the cooler, because once you put it in the cooler, most of the time you lose it. And probably most of those, not most, but some of those new varieties will bring the possibility to use the fruit on the table of the kitchen, and that makes a tremendous power of consumption. If we compare it with other categories that are, or with other fruit that are similar, I don't know anyone that is so attractive for kids at the same time as it is as so attractive to older people. So I think that, yes, indeed, we should do more for other categories, and we should expand the consumption of other fruits and veg, but really blueberries, even in adverse conditions, climatic conditions, are really a category that builds up by itself. I think that the example that we have had today with the Norse COP gives us a good answer to that question. We should do more on the other categories, but I think with blueberries, we really have a winner.